How's everyone doing?
Good.
Great.
Doing good.
Good, good. Who's kicking us off today?
Who's Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike. Hey, so I got a hold of a gal in Memphis there.
Yeah.
And first thing she asked me is if I'm one of those investors that buys at ridiculously low prices. And I said, well, not necessarily. I said, it all depends on the house.
That's right.
You know, so she tells me that the house, that she redid the house completely.
Okay.
So so I said, well, what are you asking for it then? She said, 115. I said, nothing needs to be done. She goes, no. So I said, okay, well, what is it rent for? She said,
yep.
12. It's a 3-1.
Okay.
And I researched that. I don't see hardly anything going for that. I mean, 9 to 1,000 is about as high as I can find.
Yep.
So I'm thinking that isn't, if she's going to be stuck on that price, that isn't feasible. Because nothing even sells for that high.
That's their house. It's pretty common to get high estimates, low estimates on fix-up. What was that? Is everybody there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, the music just kicked in,
yep.
And then
yeah,
you came back. Strange. So pretty common to get low estimates on fix-up, high estimates on value, high estimates on rent. So pretty easy conversation, Mark. It sounds like, I mean, she wants it to go. How long has it been vacant for?
She bought it in 2014. So
okay.
I don't know. I did not ask her that. I should have.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Do you have another conversation with her planned? How did this call end?
I told her, I said, I have a bunch of buyers that like to buy rentals. So that's why I asked her what it rented for. And I said, let me get with them. And I said, and see what they say, and then I will get back with you.
Perfect. So this is where you're going to come back with some data, right? And you've got your ranges. It sounds like you already did that. 900 to 1,000 is the rent range. What do you think? She was thinking 115. What are the sale prices in there? In that area?
Anywhere from 80 to 110. I just saw nothing over 110.
Yeah. And was the renovation just done?
Yes, according to her.
Okay. Okay, so a couple things to figure out. What was her intent? She fixed it up, but now it's just sitting there. She doesn't have it listed, I'm assuming, right?
Not that I saw, because I went on realtor.com, and it's not listed on there.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. It's kind of crazy that she put some money into it to fix it up. And so see if she has some photos of it. You can let her know, hey, here's the data I'm finding. Looks like the closest one is this amount. Looks like rents in the area are 900 to 1,000. Sounds like she doesn't have it rented currently. And here's the deal. Figure out what the motivation is and what the level of motivation is. And if you want to dig a little bit, how to look up public records, see if you can find what she paid for it so you can have that information going in. Because then you can ask, something like, if you don't mind me asking, how much did you spend on the rehab? And then behind the scenes, you're kind of doing the math and get an idea. But, it's really about it is about the numbers, but it's about the motivation level first. So either this thing is causing some kind of pain and she wants to get rid of it, or it's not. So it's always motivation one, numbers and, property details second. So, but, yeah, you've got some of the data already. Make sure you have your questions written down. The ones that we've just discussed that you want to clear out with her, and then, say, hey, at the end of the day, say I typically buy from people who are motivated to sell, and either you are getting that feeling or you're not, and you can just bring it up. So I'm not really getting the feeling that you're motivated to sell this thing. Am I reading the situation accurate? And when you ask it that way, it's not offensive. It's just you making a statement and then say, am I correct in that feeling, in that assumption or not? And see what happens.
Yeah, because at 115, there isn't even any room for me to put anything on top of that.
Well, and if it's ready to go, right. I mean, maybe that's the thing. You know, you could, I mean, there are turnkey buyers. I mean, if you had a marketing agreement on this thing and you could get her down a little bit to 100 or 105, maybe you can still mark it up five and just, you know, this thing's rent ready. Sounds like it's vacant, but I'd be curious to know what are her plans. You should be able to figure out through public records. It depends on what they show there, but you should be able to look at, you know, chain of title, see the last time it changed hands, what that price was, get an idea how much she put into the rehab. And then, you know, just have a conversation. No pressure. She's either motivated or she's not. That's what it comes down to.
Right.
So, turnkey buyers in Memphis all day long.
Okay.
That's a really solid market for turnkey rentals. That's actually in Memphis. That's primarily what Rob is doing. Buy them, fix them up, rent them, and sell them tenant occupied.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a really strong turnkey market. Yeah, see what she says, and then see how low you could get it. I mean, at the end of the day, you could get that thing, you know, get an agreement on it, say, hey, let's get this paperwork in place. This just gives me the right to go market it. Can't promise anything. This is a little higher than usual, but, you know, I've got some buyers that are looking, so let's go to work. And that way, you could do that one agreement in there that's really just a marketing agreement that says if she finds a buyer, she can sell it. If you find a buyer, then you can sell it. And it kind of takes the pressure off the whole situation.
Right.
Hey, Mike, that's what I use in my as an option contract. That kind of verbiage.
Where it just gives you the right to market it.
Yeah. And then if you find a buyer, then you execute a purchase and sale agreement.
Right. But yeah, Mark, that really that allows you to help her, but there's really no repercussion if you can't. It's a pretty sweet little document to have in place.
Yeah. Okay.
So. Yeah, have another conversation with her. And John, good to know you're alive, buddy. You feeling okay?
Oh man, barely, but I am alive, so I'm coming back from the dead.
That's good. Yep, that's good. Yeah, Mark, good stuff, man. This is how it works. Get people on the phone and get conversations going. So nice job.
Right.
What else?
Right. Okay.
Any other questions?
No, just basically what we talked about earlier, and so I'm ready for that, and then I'll continue on with my Cleveland ones too.
Sounds good. Yeah, keep me posted on what she says. Do you plan on talking to her here in the next couple of days?
Well, I figured, yeah, because by the time we get done with here, it'll be later over there, so I figured I'll talk to her in the morning because I've got her cell phone number. So.
Yeah, get her back on the phone because you're the recent conversation. So get her back on the phone and figure out what's going on. But great turnkey market in Memphis.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yep, good stuff. Good stuff. Who else? John, I'll just call on you. How's it going with the I believe you hired a gal, right?
Hey man. Yeah. I hired her and then, you know, my computer died and then I died, so it's been a rough week.
Right.
So
okay.
and I'm just now coming back to life, you know, it took several days to get the computer back, and then when I got it back from the Geek Squad, I had to, you know, get all my, I couldn't find my product key code for my office suite stuff, man, and that was frustrating. I finally got it, so it's been a process, but I'm rolling, and the girl I hired, you know, I think she's going to be good. She has made some calls. She's hasn't really got on regular schedule, but we did some screen time this morning and went over how I wanted her to put stuff in the FreedomSoft and so on and so forth, just to do a little bit of training and
nice.
But she's excited and she's probably the DI personality that I need because I'm so DC.
Yep.
You know, I'm a high D with a, you know, I'll tell her to. Go ahead, go for it, but hold on.
Right.
So, but then again, she called
a
lady.
Uh-huh.
Huh? Go ahead.
I was going to say, when does she start, this weekend or Monday?
Yeah, she's starting. She's already made some calls, and I just got off the phone with her a while ago. And she says she's going to try to make a few calls tonight and get started good tomorrow.
Okay.
And she has she called one lead just out of the blue, a lady that I'd spoken to already on from a bandit sign call.
Yep.
And the lady's husband just died a few months ago, and she's from North Carolina, and she's got two houses, one she wants to sell to help pay for his funeral expenses and stuff, but
right,
they're in a really, really bad part of town.
Yeah.
And she kind of went a little bit too far with it, and she's wanting to help the lady, but it's kind of like one of those. She said, well, we can sell it. I said, yeah, but you're not going to find a buyer over there. So
right.
Anyway, she's kind of hung up on that, and this is a situation, like you just mentioned, that we may execute an option agreement with this lady just to try to help her, but it's going to be tough to find a buyer, just being realistic, because
yeah.
So, I mean, the girl's, she's ready to go, so she's like chomping at the bit, so I'm just going to have to,
right.
Enforce my cautious tales upon her, so to speak. But I mean, I don't want to hold her back, but, you know, it's Birmingham's a market. There's just certain areas that you may or may not find a buyer, and if you lock it up under contract, man, you know, sometimes 10 days or 14 days isn't
right.
enough. So,
right.
But that's a learning process. She'll learn.
It is. It is. It absolutely is.
I mean, she even went and viewed the house, and her uncle is a contractor, and he went over there and did an estimate and
yeah.
said it's only $5,000 to fix one house. I said, if it needs a roof, that's $5,000 right there.
Right.
Well, don't they? You know, but anyway, so. But.
Hey, here's what's cool about this, whether or not this deal goes forward or not. You all are, at some point in time, you're going to come across somebody, and they just, you're their only shot. So are we in this business to make money? Absolutely. We don't do pro bono work per se, but you come across something like this. And I like where your new sales gal's heart's at, whether you can help or not, you know, to be determined. Cause there are some, you know, like you said, there are properties in some locations that just aren't deals, or it's an extreme long shot to
right.
make it happen. But that's one of the cool things about this business, is that some people are just selling to sell, and that's fine. You'll buy from them, but you're going to come across people that legitimately need your help. And as investors, you know, we know how to help people out and to make a difference. And she's got a legitimate problem. She's obviously in a season of grieving, just lost her husband, can't afford
right.
the funeral, said, hey, we have this other house. Maybe we could get rid of this to solve this problem. I mean, this is a legitimate person experiencing life. And a real estate agent's not going to touch it. And so this is where, as investors, we step in and we bring value. And, you know,
right.
John, you're going to shoot her straight and say, hey, this is a long shot, but, you know, maybe it's worth a little bit of effort on your part. So anyway, I just bring that up there because, you know, we sit in a cool spot where you are going to talk to people who are in need, and they really don't have another option outside of the skill set and the know-how that we all bring to the table. So
exactly. Yeah. I think, you're telling me not to be so negative, right?
No,
what you're saying?
Not at all. I'm just saying that you do this long enough and you're going to come across people. I mean, Rob has that funny story about, he bought a lady's house. She paid, I think she paid 10 grand at closing to get rid of it. She brought money to the table. And it was such a big problem that he solved that she sent him a Christmas card for like the next 10 years.
Wow.
And she brought money to the closing. But he was the one who showed up and solved her problem.
Yeah.
And so she remembered him every year.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's assuming she passed away, but he got a Christmas card for like 10, for I think it was a decade.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I think
he got paid and made a difference.
I think you hit the nail on the head, just about everything that you said. And you know, the lady, she's a real nice lady. And I talked to her a long time when I initially spoke
yeah.
with her. And she's in need. And,
yep.
you know, maybe I can present an option to her and go from there, because, you know, she's just here to try to take care of things. And so,
right.
We'll
cool.
see what happens there. But anyway, yeah,
yeah,
man,
yeah.
I'm looking – I think good things are to come, so we're headed in the right direction. And I closed on a deal today, finally. It was about a week
late,
but it closed. So,
is that the one that you had a partnership agreement on?
Yeah, and it was the one with the hedge fund, and the guy beat us down on the price, and they were trying to find a fund to who was going to buy it, and they were delaying the closing, and I had my seller already signed last Thursday, and they were expecting a check, and then the lady's son went and bought another house, and their mortgage girl was calling everybody wanting to know. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, every deal is different. I've never done two that were alike, ever. So,
crazy,
I've probably done, I don't know how many deals I've done, at least 100 or more. So,
yeah.
How'd
you guys make out on this one?
It was sweet. You know, bought it for 30, sold it for 47. So.
Okay. And then you guys had a 60-40 split.
A 60-40. And then
cool.
I've got another one by myself that I just got a closing date on for $3,500. It's going to close on the 8th. It was
nice, here in a week, 7 days.
Yeah, buy
cool.
for 33.5 and selling it for 37. And then that same guy's got another property that he's going to sell us. I'll make a $4,000 spread on it whenever we. He wants to sell this one first.
Yep.
And then we have another one.
Wait till this sales gal ramps up, and you've got somebody full time feeding the machine here.
Oh man, I can't wait. So,
right.
But,
exactly where you want to sit. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, I got another one with this joint venture guy. It was also a bandit sign deal, but he did all the work. So. We're going to split this 50-50. He went over to see the guy, and he happened to be a frat brother with a guy. He was a fraternity brother.
Okay.
And and it's a $7,500 deal we're splitting. So, and it's it went to escrow 2 days ago. So, and we're pushing
cool.
it to close hopefully in 2 weeks' time. So,
John,
every time
we check in here, you got stuff closing or lined up. I love it. So, listen, we've got a lot, you know, I don't know how many people chimed in. I wasn't counting the beeps, but, you know, John's got some experience, obviously, right? Says he's closed, you know, approaching 100 deals or so and that kind of thing. But this is where the consistent effort on the front, and, John, you were kind of going, I mean, you were open about it. Like, you close a deal and then get hung up and then, you know, stress out and then run out of money and then close another one, get hung up. And it was really about building consistency. So, and that's really right. If you haven't done a deal yet, your first challenge, your first hurdle is to do your first one. But then after that, it's about consistency. And so this is why when we set up that triangle, here's what you are never going to stop doing as long as you're investors. The bottom of the triangle, generating leads, and the second level up, generating buyers. Now, clearly, we talk about systems all the time around here because if you don't have systems, you create a job. But the lead gen, right, stays constant, and you keep building the buyers list. Those two things never go away. And when you do that consistently over time, right, because then what happens is you start getting on the phone, and that's been a challenge for quite a few of you, and that's why we're having the conversation about bringing a salesperson on board, because everybody's busy. To have somebody consistently on the phone, right, that's where Rob's business, when we're talking about multiple transactions in a week or every month or whatever the case is, they're just generating more leads. And then they have, you know, a couple salespeople, and that's all they do for 6, 7, 8 hours a day is get on the phone and kind of, right, and feed the engine. And so a lot of you are on the front end of that, right? Not quite there yet. John, you're there. A few others are talking about bringing a salesperson on, and that's perfect. But it just ramps up to that. So you'll get on the phone, you'll get a salesperson on the phone, you'll maybe go multiple markets, you'll maybe get a second salesperson or a dispositions person to start working with the buyers. And then this is what allows you, you know, when you have, so John, in your scenario, right, everybody's getting a VA on board in step three, so you've got some automation there. Then when the time is right, get a salesperson involved, and then your priorities switch to make sure leads are coming in. So kind of managing the bird dogs, make sure stuff's getting to the over to the VA for skip tracing, that kind of thing. And then working on the end with the buyers. Now, John, once you have this thing really clicking, you'll be able to put somebody into that position where they get to know the buyers, and as soon as the sales team ties up a deal, they'll hand it off and they'll immediately go into marketing to find the buyer. But that is a great use of your time. Get somebody on the phone, teeing them up, and then you stay on the buyer's side because you have the relationships, establish new ones, and move it. So you can kind of see how this business goes from, hey, I'm a one-person operation, now I'm one person with a VA, now I'm one person with a VA and a salesperson, now I'm one person with a VA and a salesperson and a dispositions person. And when you're at just that level, you have a good VA and you have a salesperson and somebody on disposition, you can really, really start ramping up the volume. It doesn't take a big team. And you've got the salesperson and the dispositions person incented by more deals, right? The more money they generate, the bigger their paychecks are, and that's a great place. And it's not that far in the future. So some of you are still looking at how do I get to deal number one? And I'm just painting a little vision of here of John who's going through it, of where you're going to be in the not so distant future, because it doesn't take that long to really get it there when you're staying on the gas. So,
you know, you say all that, and I'm still struggling with it because at the point it had been, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks since the last deal I closed, time was about to run out again. So, I've still got to put my foot even harder on the gas because
stay on the gas.
You know,
yep.
And I had all these issues pop up, and you know, this week and a half hurt me because
right.
But then again, as it was going on, I still made progression and got some positive things done. And,
right.
And so I have to look at it like that. So.
Here's the obvious, John. You get sick, your computer blows up, and still at this point in time, the business is all dependent on you, and things come to a halt. Right.
Right.
You have in the future when you have a salesperson that's still working, you have a dispositions person that's still moving deals, and maybe a VA that handles some of your tech, and you get sick or you go down, those pieces of the puzzle are still turning.
Yeah, sweet. That's what I got to. That's where I got to be, man. Yep.
That's not right. That's not that far off. So.
Yeah.
Great update. You're
all right, man. Cool.
Yeah, you're talking about deals on every call, everybody. So this is where you're headed. Getting the middle of stuff. Who else? Good update, John. Glad
all
you're
right.
Feeling better.
Yeah,
hey, Mike. Right. It's Darren.
Darren.
Not a whole lot has changed since last call, since it was only a day and a half ago.
Yeah,
but,
kind of a quick week this time.
I was able to interview a couple people. Oops, got to get off the highway here. I interviewed a couple people for the job, and I actually had two good interviews out of three. The one guy
cool.
was just straight up honest with me. He just said, look, that pay structure doesn't work for me. Like, I need benefits, and I need – you know, blah, blah, blah. So at least he was honest with me. And then I had another kid. He's ready to go. Oh, I did send you an email about the disc test in which, you know, if you guys could recommend which it looks like there's a lot of different options out there, and I just want to make sure I'm going with the right level and the right website to offer that disc test.
Gotcha.
I sent a link in, Mike.
Yeah, John did. I'll see if I can pass that off. And
okay.
If Rob chimes in too, he can just let you know where he typically buys them from. So
I'll get a bunch of options there.
Yep.
All right. Thanks.
And I don't know that you can go wrong, honestly. As long as it's the disc materials, you'll get similar answers. But I'll look for
it. Got
it.
Yep. Okay. I guess another small little hurdle that I have is a timing issue here. I'm leaving for Croatia for 10 days next week.
Yep.
I know everybody feels probably really sad about that.
Yeah, we're pretty bummed.
I know. I figured. But and I'm just getting ready to hire somebody here. It's just really bad timing that I've got somebody lined up to get started. And I'm wondering if I should just get him on board and have him start making calls even though I'm not going to be here, or if I should just have him wait till I get back. What's your gut tell you on that?
Man, my gut says get him on the phone.
Get him on the phone and just say, hey, I'll see you in 10 days. And just, who cares what happens? And
I'll see you when I get back. Here's the thing is, for them, I get it. It's kind of a tough one because there isn't really somebody that you could hand them off to, and I don't know that you want to check in from Croatia, really.
No. I don't know if
You just want to disappear?
I just want to go. I've got enough stuff on my plate already that I'm disappearing from.
Yeah.
But, I guess I can just tell them, look, we want to start you, but it's going to be another 2 weeks, and we'll get you up and running the minute I get back.
What's their background? How much real estate for both of these people?
He's a young guy. He's like in his 20s. He just graduated from college. He actually started up several companies that he did all on his own. He started his junior year over summer. So he's super motivated. He takes action. He started this home repair company that he just put himself out there. That just said, we're like a jack of all trades. We'll come and do this. And he started marketing himself. He said he got like 25 or 30 customers. And then he went back to college. And then he was working for a big commercial investing company who had a lot of they were basically matching up big money people with commercial real estate.
So he's got some good background.
Yeah, he does. He does. And
we don't need to really dive into some of his work history here, but get him into FreedomSoft and some of the training. Set him up as a user on your team and have him get familiar, with some of the systems. You can just point him towards the using FreedomSoft videos, some of the lab trainings. And that way, when he's live, he's familiar with FreedomSoft. Here's how you're going to log in. These are the statuses that you're going to be looking for after the VA does the research. You're going to come in, research complete, jump on the phone. Here's how you're going to save it. Just get them familiar with some of the tech in preparation.
Gotcha.
That way you're not,
and maybe
that way
even
you're not
give
wasting
the script.
Time.
Sure.
For sure.
Now,
yeah, absolutely.
Now, this guy, we talked about this before, and you said not to operate in a mode of fear, but this guy is somebody who I feel like after a couple months, like he learns how to do all this. Like he's got enough entrepreneurial type of skills to want to go do this on his own or whatever, but I'm going to take a leap of faith. I'm just going to hire him anyways and see how it goes. But
absolutely, you can't get to where you want to go, Darren, working out of fear. Listen,
no, I know. I'm just going to do it.
If he works for you and learns this business, and just decides to spread his wings and go tear it up, and he got his training with you, you'll either buy from him, sell to him, partner with him, and you turn loose another competent investor that's going to go make a difference. So at the end of the day, you still win.
Okay.
So just see it that way.
All right, I will. I'm taking your word for it. I'm just going to go for it. And then I interviewed another woman yesterday who's been in real estate since like the early 80s. And she was just super personable on the phone, just like was really easy to talk to. She had a good personality, good heart. And she's, at the beginning she was having the same difficulty with the pay structure. And then the more I talked to her, I said, you were a realtor for all these years. You know what it's like to just, work off commission. I said, this is honestly a really good opportunity and probably going to, if you really do well at it, you're going to outperform what we even think that you're going to make financially. And so she's thinking about it, but I could potentially have two good people that I could bring on.
Right.
And then I'll just have to really ramp up quick on the bird dogs. And I only have about 500 leads, but I don't feel like that would be that. I mean, I've already got 500 in just a couple of weeks, and I had to shut them down because I was like, I can't even dial 500 numbers myself. So until I get some people on board.
Yeah, you know how to turn on leads, and you know how to do it in multiple locations. So
what a
great problem to have. Holy cow, I have two people that are about to
two
hit the phone, and I got to turn some lead gen on. It's a great place to sit.
I might have to Yeah, yeah. So I got to go on vacation first, though. So that's really going to kill me because I'm going to be on vacation thinking about how I can crank up my business.
Right.
And there I am on vacation trying to relax. It's going to be real. So.
Yeah, I don't see your brain the way you're wired going on vacation very easily.
It's gonna
first
be
world problems, man. First world problems.
It's crazy.
You're gonna think about your business just from a different location with a better view. That's all.
I know. So what other advice can you? I mean, I don't even know what other questions to ask. Honestly, I mean, that's where I'm at. I don't even know what to. I feel like I need to be asking and learning more, but I don't even know what to ask.
What I'm thinking is, I know we have somebody else in Cleveland. What if you got your salespeople on the phone and we just redirected them into coaching team, somebody else that could give them a few pointers while you're out and just, you know, if that person helps out, just do a split on anything that gets queued up. I'm almost thinking that, you know, we could talk about that outside of office hours here. So it doesn't even, the operation doesn't even slow down. So when do you leave?
I leave next Friday at 4:00.
So a week from tomorrow.
I got another week to basically onboard them. So
yeah,
maybe if I
hire
them early next week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could have them on the phone and do some phone training if you get them on board. And then I don't see why with this group that we have, you know, even just on this call, I don't see why we couldn't.
Hey, this is Aaron.
I
can make time for your motivated sellers.
You can make time for my motivated sellers.
That's the other piece is have your salesperson say, I'm out of town. But when you're having these conversations, if you have questions or what else, you're going to Aaron. Aaron's going to tie it up. You guys close it. Darren, you generated it. Aaron helped out. Just go 50-50 on the – just do a JV agreement on the closing.
Yeah.
So, oh, I won't charge you 50%. I'll charge you less than that.
49.
Right on.
Yeah,
right on, guys.
We can get that piece figured out, Darren. So.
Okay. And even if he just gets on the phone for a week and doesn't really tie anything up or get anybody, at least he's on the phones and he's making the calls. And
killer.
If he does,
here's
he can
team
up for me.
Here's the thing with your, vacant leads are as good a quality of leads as you can generate, right? You've got great leads. It sounds like he's competent with a little training. He'll need some conversations with Aaron prior to you coming back. That'd be my guess. I mean, you'll get somebody.
So you think he'll get some to the point where
for sure. Because you get somebody on the phone for 6, 7, 8 hours a day, they're going to talk to people. Those people have vacant houses. Vacant houses are a problem, and it's going to go right into let's be your solution. Absolutely. Let's figure that out.
What's bad timing?
We'll put our heads together outside of let's just make it work. I don't see why things need to slow down all that much. So.
All right. I'm just trusting you guys. I'm just going to go with it. These are all little things that my mind personally has hang-ups with. Like
Everybody's mind does.
Let's just wait till I get back. That's what my gut tells me. It's like, I could just wait a week.
Keep this in mind. The whole focus, or at least what I'm taking from this whole coaching system, and is just a new way of thinking about how can you make money without doing anything at all, without being involved at all. You know what I mean? So that involves, you know, divvying it out and trusting people and delegating. And hopefully someday it'll all be delegated and you'll be on the beach 24/7 with checks coming in the mail.
I hope so, man. I hope so. I just
want
to get over these mental blocks.
Yeah, to speak to that, you're right. Rob is still involved in the real estate business, but it's only from a guy's standpoint. He has people in every position that do that, but he has experience in all the positions. And so he sits in the captain's chair and says, you know, hey, Chris, the phone calls aren't going great. Where are you getting hung up? What are you saying? What's the feedback? And he goes, okay, here's how you work around that. And so what he does is he's still involved. It's not like he's hands off, but his involvement is – I need to pour a little knowledge in here. I need to give a little guidance here. I need to give a little input over here. And so that's where it's still your business, you know, you still are going to keep tabs on it. You can do it from anywhere. You know, I agree with that. If you want to be on a beach, fantastic.
Yeah.
That's what's cool about it. But you can outsource all this. And so as you start to build it, you get experience in all these areas. Some you're going to enjoy, some you're not. But in the future, you're going to be able to speak into all of them and help your different team members. So
yeah,
it's valuable to go through, you know, the process. The start is one and then build from there.
Yeah, I definitely like the idea of outsourcing everything and having the machine run. The one thing that is in the back of my mind, though, that is a little concerning is that I may not be spending enough time in each one of the positions to really gain a deep knowledge of, you know, I can see after talking to 500 sellers that you would be much more experienced at it and have much more knowledge about it than if I made 100 calls and immediately turned it over to somebody else to do the job. It's like I feel like I'm not becoming the educated Rob Swanson after, you know, because I feel like he's been immersed in the job a lot longer and has. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but you'll be fine. You get a sharp salesperson on the phone who's good on the phone. You bring some real estate knowledge. They bring some sales. You'll put your heads together, even if you don't have any. Say, wow.
I gotcha. So it's not really about me. It's just about hiring the right people and giving them the training and telling them what I want. And not me necessarily being, yeah.
No different than figuring out. I don't know if you know how to read blueprints, Darren, but I certainly don't. I know enough about it to speak intelligently and to guide and to make some decisions, but I don't know how to do any plumbing. I barely know what a hammer looks like. I don't know how to hook up.
You can't
stuff,
spell
right?
hammer?
I could maybe, you know, figure out how to hook up the air compressor to the nail gun.
Uh-huh.
And that's how Rob is. He likes to tell this joke. He says, I tell my wife I can fix anything. Give me a phone and a – used to be a phone book, but now it's – you know, now you just Google it. But
a phone and Siri.
I can fix anything at the house. Give me the number to a handyman.
Gotcha.
And yet he's flipped hundreds of houses because he just knows how to speak intelligently about it. So don't worry about it. You don't have to be the master of all things. Just be the overseer of what's going on. So you'll be fine.
Gotcha. All right. Thanks for all the advice. I'm just going to keep rolling with it. Trust me.
That's right.
I'm just doing what you say. That's it. And,
Beautiful.
So we'll try. We're going to get this test out to these two people. And then before I go and then see if I can onboard them, I know that nobody wants to just hand over some kind of a subcontractor agreement that they're using for this, but otherwise, I got to sit down and write a subcontractor agreement for the, you know, something. I want to have something in writing with these these salespeople.
I know either you or somebody else asked Rob recently. It's going to look a little bit different state to state. So, have you Googled subcontractor agreements in Ohio?
It's not the general terms of the contract. It's more the terms for the specific position. So, like, I know the general gist of the pay structure. I'm just wondering what other terms I need to put in the agreement so that I keep myself so that it's – I'd rather have it be over-detailed than under-detailed because then both of us, we know what we're getting ourselves into and we know what we're into. I feel like if I leave some stuff out, I could get
a
hot water.
Get a real estate attorney there and get them on the phone and say, here's what I do. I'm about to bring on two salespeople. I need a subcontractor agreement. Do you have one? This is just a matter of asking around.
Okay. I gotcha.
It's local real estate attorneys and it's other investors. And just say, do you have a subcontractor agreement I can get from you? It's just a matter of asking. So there's
Now that you mentioned it, it makes sense because I have a subcontractor agreement with one of the realtors that works for me, and it just specifies out the details of the commission splits and who pays for signs, who does this, who does that. So maybe I can just take those terms and say, oh, we're going to provide you the leads. You're going to do this. Here's what your pay is.
Right.
So, okay.
Yep.
Just get them to fill out a W-9.
What's that?
Say that one more time.
I said, maybe this Bluetooth isn't working too well. I said, just make sure you get them to fill out their
W-9.
The
W-9. Form. Oh, because we need to spend 99.
You need that, Social Security number before the end of the year whenever they disappear and you're trying to track it down. That's happening.
Good call. Good call.
Yeah, that's right up front in paperwork. Include that W-9 for sure. Yep.
Got it.
Yeah, Darren,
thank you so much, guys.
It's out there. Just start asking around. Somebody has one.
I will.
Even if you have to pay a couple hundred bucks for it.
Totally worth it.
Yeah, just grab it and go. You can modify it as you move forward, but yep. Who else? Good updates.
Aaron Rose.
Thank you.
Aaron Rose.
So, yeah, we spoke a little bit earlier, but I have had some motion since then. I got a couple of response. Finally got my Craigslist ad posted for my salesperson position. Pretty short, sweet, and to the point. I've got one guy that responded back earlier, and he and I talked already. An old dude that has done telephone marketing his whole life and semi-retired, but just needs something to do. So we're going to meet on Monday and see about going through the, you know, the process and just kind of feel it out and see how it goes. And then I just got another lady who also has a ton of telemarketing experience and, you know, but just loves helping people and wants to stay into telephone marketing, but doesn't want to be a telemarketer, wants to be doing something more, you know, more fulfilling. And anyway, yeah,
right.
looks pretty good.
I love it.
Yeah, so that's moving on. I basically suspended my lead. Go ahead.
I was just going to throw this out there, you guys. When you go to hire somebody, the natural tendency is to portray, or right in your subconscious, you're thinking, okay, I have to be the expert here. It is perfectly okay to bring somebody in. Aaron, you just said that you've got a guy that's been around phone sales forever, and you can completely open up and say, honestly, you know, somebody with your level of experience would reply to my ad. I'm pretty excited. Let me tell you where I'm at. I do this with real estate. I know I generate great leads. Bam, bam, bam. And you don't have to, you know, if you can bring some expertise to this, I'm an honest person. You seem like an honest person. Here's how I anticipate you getting paid. Bam, bam, bam. But I'm open to suggestions on as we get moving. You know, let's just agree that we're going to be moving down this path. And then if you've got some input, fire it up. Because you get somebody with that experience, when you're in 3, 4, 5 markets, they may just run the sales team. If they've got all this experience.
I put that in the ad. I didn't make it seem, because I read the Real American Wealth ad and definitely you get the sense of, you know, super experienced, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I didn't want to come across like that, but I definitely didn't want to come across as like, I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. So, you know,
right.
Try
somewhere
it with
in between.
Me. I was like, you know, jump in with a new company, get in at the ground floor, and if things go well, you know, be able to grow with the company.
Yep.
And,
I love it. There's something people just appreciate. If you're trying to hide something or hold it back, they know it anyway, because you know it. You can read body language and what, right? It's the nonverbals. And so to be completely open and honest like that, it's just the way to go. And say, hey, I don't know exactly what this looks like. I'll be honest with you. But I know how to do. I can generate great leads. I know how to find buyers. Bam, bam, bam. So jump in and let's go build something cool. So
right.
Perfectly okay to take that approach.
Don't fake it
like you're a Fortune 500 company, right? No need to. Just be who you are. So cool.
Right. Yeah, because that's going to sow the suspicion when they figure it out that, hey, this guy was not being straight up with me. And then they're like, at that point, when you know, you've broken that trust bond, and never know when they can trust you again.
Absolutely.
That's
they start
for
thinking,
life.
If this is a lie, what else aren't they telling me? That's where we all go. So, cool, man. So you've got how many, two, that look promising?
Yeah, I haven't contacted the second girl yet, but she seems like more... you know, more like current and has, you know, computer CRM experience and stuff like that. So I'm wondering what should I set one on like my set one in my zone that I'm at, that I've got, you know, my own self-generated leads, and then set another one maybe in my like co-op leads, or just divvy some of the leads
probably
out.
Gonna be, it's going to be a mix of both. So here's what you'll do if you have two salespeople, Darren, same thing. Give them each their own campaign and only allow them to see their campaign. Salespeople don't need to see other salespeople's campaigns and leads. And then what you'll do is you log into your account, you have all leads access, and all you do is just change campaign and just say, these ones go to Bill, these ones go to Susie. This one goes to Bill, this one goes to Susie. This goes to Bill, this goes to Susie. And then, right, so you'll keep them probably in a, however you want to organize it, but you'll have your VA go in, do the research, and it'll, right, the VA could even, I mean, here's the thing. You just tell the VA, you know, make them your rotator. Say, after you get numbers, go every other. If you, since you have two, if you have one, it just goes to the salesperson. But if you have more than one, you just make your VA the rotator. And they say, you know, you get in for today and you do research on the first one, that one goes to Bill. Next one you find numbers on goes to Susie. Next one goes to Bill. Next one goes to Susie. And then when your salespeople log in, leads are researched, and they open up their campaign and they pick up the phone. And that's just let the VA handle it.
So it kind of that leads me towards another idea, which is if I am, you know, basically planning on hopefully bringing on more than one person potentially, that maybe from the get-go, I don't start each person with, like, all the leads. I set up a separate campaign and put a few in there so they don't see, you know, the total volume, and they don't see, like, half of them disappear one day. Like, hey, what happened to the rest of my leads?
That's absolutely how you do it. You say, hey, I put 15 in there, go get started. I put 20 in. Now, if they're full-time, you're going to have to feed them some leads up front.
Right.
But that's absolutely
how you do it. I may
have
to turn my bird dog back on.
Oh, for sure.
On a side note about how, you know, lessons I'm learning in this course are helping me across the board in my life. You know, with the roofing stuff that's going on, I was driving down the street yesterday, and I pulled over to the side to read some emails that were coming in, and a FedEx truck pulled up next to me. A woman jumped out, and she ran over. She said, hey, can I get your business card? Because my investor, you know, suggested your company or something. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. And I said, where do you live? And she told me her address. And I said, what's your name? And she, you know, it was on her name tag. I said, well, shoot me a text with your info, and I'll follow up, and we can see what we can do for you. But then I was like, you know what? I know where she lives. So I went to public records, pulled up her name and her address, and I popped it into Intellius real quick, and I called her like 30 seconds later as she was driving away. I think I might have freaked her out.
That's funny.
I was like, hey, I'm the guy you just met on the corner. I know you didn't give me your phone number, but I can help you. Sorry.
You definitely creeped her out. Unbelievable.
I thought that's might funny. Have moved a little. Did I come on a little too strong?
That's
funny.
But then
right after that, I knocked on another door, huge house, and, you know, the person that owned it wasn't there. So I went in public records, pulled up Intellius, second phone number got me to his workplace, which gave me his cell phone number, and I called and left a message on his cell phone and said, hey, I'm in your neighborhood.
Cross-training.
I'm dangerous.
That's funny. That's funny.
Oh, gosh. Anyway.
Good stuff.
Things are going
well, yeah, Aaron,
my future's so bright. I got to wish you.
I've got a couple promising to get somebody on board. I know you've got some time with the family now. From following up on Tuesday, so cool.
Yes.
Who else? Questions? Any steps? I know we've got some new folks. Step one, step two. Questions or input on any of it? Let's just go wide open. Anyone?
What's a bird dog?
Bird dog is somebody out in the field.
I was joking. Sorry.
I didn't know who that was, so I can't always.
Hey, Mike, how's it going? It's Lewis.
Yeah, hey, Lewis. How you been?
Doing all right. Busy.
Good. Yeah, tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so I mean, businesses is rolling. Got three under contract right now, trying to close.
Right.
And I got a couple of leads that we're working on. My team's working on trying, to lock down.
Yep.
As far as we still got the bird dogs working.
Yep.
Got my salespeople up and running. So yeah, we're doing pretty well.
How many people do you have on the phones? One or more?
I've got two.
Two? And about how many leads are they turning through on a weekly basis? Do you know that number?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it's
what would you estimate?
Calling, yeah, they're calling about, probably 50 a day, but there's a lot of bad numbers. And so
okay.
I think they're connecting with, between 5 and 10 a day.
Yep.
Because we're getting some leads through because we're also doing some direct mail activities too, in addition to the vacant houses. And so what I do is we have one guy who's mostly works the phones, another guy that goes on appointments and meets with the sellers.
Okay.
So and that's actually helping us increase some of the margins that we're getting on some of the deals that we have on the contract.
And then how are you paying them when they're both working on the same deal?
Just commission.
Okay. So the salesperson is getting they're getting their percentage for tying it up, and then really the person going on assignment or on the appointment is kind of like the disposition side of things. Is that how you're seeing it?
Yeah.
But they're both working on getting the deal under contract. Who's moving it to the buyer's list?
One of the salesperson moving to the buyer's list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, so just a little bit different. I wanted to ask you that question, and that's, that's right on par with Rob's sales guys, 40 to 60 a week, a day, should say, not a week. Just depends on how many conversations they have. Because, you get on the phone and, some of them are quick, but other conversations, you'll go 45 minutes with a seller talking about their life, their situation, the property. That's not uncommon, so. Cool.
Yeah, they're definitely making about 50. Like I said, most of them are either bad numbers or can't connect with somebody or whatever.
Yeah.
So they probably real conversations between 5 and 10, a day is what they're having.
And then three under contract. Do you have buyers lined up for those three, or you just got them under?
Oh no, so I have earnest money.
Gotcha. So
collected for those.
Okay, so they're under contract to sell. What are the closing dates?
So one of them, we're having issues with the seller has a tenant in there, and the tenant needs to move out, and he's just dragging his feet. So we have that scheduled for the 12th. They both agreed that we can get it done then. The other ones, we just opened up escrow like late last week. And so they're still doing title searches on them right now. So we're now closing, but I expect them to close the next couple of weeks.
And what are the numbers on the three? What do they look like? What do you buy them for? What do you have them under contract to sell for?
Sure. So one of them, let me just bring it up real quick. One of them, we got it on a contract for 50, sold it for 55. That's our lowest margin one. The other one, we got it on the contract for 10, and we're selling it for 24.
Oh, I like that one.
So do I. That's definitely our biggest spread so far.
Yeah,
and the other one we got for 30, and we're selling it for 38.5.
38.5. Cool. Woo! Absolutely. Are those all set for this month?
Yeah, this should all close this month.
Cool. So, great example, right? Everybody, especially if you're on the newer side of this, it just doesn't take long to go from wherever you currently see where you're at to, multiple deals on a monthly basis. This is how you get it moving. So, yeah, Lewis, this is good stuff, man. I love it.
Yeah, definitely. We're excited.
You started working in a little bit of direct mail. So, obviously, we come out of the gates here with vacant leads. Get that dialed in. This is how Rob launches a market. I don't think anybody is, but if you're wondering, Rob closed 22 last week. Is he doing something he doesn't share? Nope. They were all vacant leads. They went to be skip traced. They went to Chris, sales guy in that market. He tied them up. And what they happened to have on this one was a private lender approached them and said, hey, I've got some 1031 money that, you know, I only have a couple days left. He had sold a house in California. And he called Brad, actually, but he just called because Rob and Brad are active and they post a couple social media and they're, you know, there's someone intentional about getting the messaging out what they're doing, right? Not to brag about it or whatever, but, you know, you just post little interesting things about what you're doing with real estate because everybody's interested in real estate right now because, right, they all watch those fix and flip shows or whatever. And so right. When you're actually doing it, they're like, holy cow, well, this guy sold a deal and he had this 1031 money and you have, I think it's 45 days to place it, right? Or else you get hit with the taxes on it. And so he's down to the wire and he's like, hey, Brad's active. I wonder if he can help me out. You know, dials him up or gets a hold of him and says, hey, here's my dilemma. Can you help me identify properties? And he goes, yeah, we've got a bunch lined up for closing. Let's just have you go in on these. And so they moved. He sold a house in California, like $350,000. They moved it all over into Memphis. You know, put the deal together, structured it, yada, yada, yada. This guy gets his money placed. He's going to have 12 or so, I can't remember the exact number. I think it's 12 turnkey rentals in a different market. Rob and Brad are doing the whole thing. He's got the money. And it just happens because they're moving. They're not trying to say, hey, let's do 12 deals today. They're just moving. And this is the kind of stuff that just happens. So, Lewis, that's killer, man. I love it.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So Lewis, I ask you a question?
Yeah, of course.
Lewis, I'm curious about, are you just starting now, or is this something that you've been doing for a while and you're just kind of trying to step it up a notch or two?
Probably we started a little bit before January. So
you're new at it this year, basically.
Yeah, so I've been seriously about this business probably in the past 7 months. We're fairly new in this business.
So are you running into any issues with like running out of vacant house leads or how you're addressing that? Or you just have tons and tons?
No, so we had a huge surge at the beginning, right? But now they're probably not as much coming through as we had before, so we're still working those. But that's why, as mentioned, one of the things that I do have direct mail as part of my strategy, so I'm not just looking at the vacant houses to get any leads. But, you know,
okay,
we probably have
absentee owner, different stuff like that.
Yeah, absentee owner, those type of lists. Those have decent returns. They're not as good as they used to be. Somebody scanned me a picture of all the different cars he has in his house, basically trying to get us to stop sending out postcards. There's a lot of competition with direct mail, which is why the vacant houses, although can be a little bit slower, you can get some much better deals because nobody's really, you don't have a lot of competition for those if you can get to find the owner.
You're saying mailing to the owners of the vacant houses, is what you're saying?
No, so the direct mail is really around absentee owners, right? The standard list you find with out there, so absentee owners. We do mail to the vacant houses too, but we do skip trace them also. So if we can't get in contact with them through phone, we're actually following up with a direct mail piece. Seeing if that.
So you're
that
saying
can get
that your vacant leads are delivering better than your absentee owner direct mail stuff?
Yes, when we can connect with the owner, it's a better conversation because we don't have much competition. Because direct mail, everybody's doing direct mail,
right?
And so you get a lot of competition. But if we're chasing down vacant houses, we're first skip tracing them, giving them a call, and like I said, most of them either the phone doesn't work or for whatever reason we can't contact the owner, we'll follow up with a direct mail piece and see if that can reach him. And that's, you know, we've gotten some results from that.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, nothing really trumps vacant house leads, which is why we start there. Here's the thing, everybody. Once you get the vacants moving, we'll have the conversation, and it just happens, you know, not in the group setting, but it happens outside of here about adding in direct mail because Rob still loves direct mail. But as Lewis said, right, more people are sending that. And it's still the percentage of investors that send direct mail compared to the total number is minuscule, right? But then you go the percentage of investors that are working this strategy that we teach in step three, right? Get bird dogs moving, skip trace them. It's next to zero. Just nobody does it. If they're working vacants, they go to the paid feeds. And that's data that comes out of the U.S. Postal Service. And we're actually working on piping that into FreedomSoft. We're working with a new data provider. Rob's still trying to figure out what is it going to look like. It's probably going to be an add-on, like a one-time upgrade, and you can have vacant house data. And the investor community will freak out about it, like, oh, my gosh, investor data. But if I can buy it, Lewis can buy it, and if Lewis can buy it, Aaron can buy it, and John can buy it, and somebody has access to the same ones. Well, nothing beats eyes on the – so that's more accurate than the U.S. Postal Service and what they're tracking. And so the world, right, it's kind of trendy right now, and the world – these vacant house feeds, and it'll happen with FreedomSoft, and you're still going to have the advantage because you're generating them in a different way. So, yeah, nothing beats vacant leads. Not to say that direct mail, I mean, there are still investors that kill it, and all they do is direct mail. So, yeah, when the conversation, when you get to that point, you know, we'll have that. Because Rob has, in the Blitz 2.0 program, which we can just set up for everybody, so you can go through his direct mail, because he teaches a couple strategies in there on how to buy different lists than everybody else is buying. So,
yep.
And Lewis, I think you've gone through that. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's basically the strategy I'm using before I joined the firm. I was using basically the stuff from Blitz Wholesaling before I joined the
coaching
this market.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I couldn't remember your exact track record and what you had of Rob's, but.
Yeah.
Yes. Mail, because Rob's been doing it well over a decade. It's all about the list. How to buy a different list than the majority of people are taught by. So, anyway, yeah, good stuff, Lewis. Great update. Looking for a good month, and then you got those people just get this thing rolling. When are you going to launch another market?
Great question. Alex was just talking about that the other day. I don't know. I guess I'm a little gun shy trying to get this thing more stabilized yet. But that's a good question. I haven't really thought about it.
Here's the thing. Get the direct mail. Easy. You'll have it up and running unless you've already got the VA in place. Basically, find a bird dog or two to start driving. I mean, it's that simple.
Was Mike breaking up to everyone else, or is that just my phone?
What's that?
You were breaking up really bad to my phone, but I don't know if it was just me or if everyone.
Yeah, he was definitely breaking up a little bit.
Oh, I was?
Yeah.
I'm remote on my cell phone today, and so it could be a little in and out. Hopefully, it's been, for the most part, in. But
yeah, it's better now.
Okay. Yeah, Lewis, great update, man. Love to hear it. This is okay. I mean, this is the goal. This is the goal, is multiple closings now on a monthly basis. And this is it's not magic how you turn it on and happen. Effort. Just keep your foot on the gas, keep generating leads, keep talking to buyers. The systems are, you don't have to reinvent those. You don't have to do any trial and error on the systems. Just follow what the steps say, and obviously, our input here, which is the systems that Rob has dialed in now for almost 20 years. And that's it. It's not rocket science. It's really, get it dialed and keep it moving and be consistent. I did the lab training today, and it's all about consistency. You never turn off lead gen. You never stop meeting buyers. Rob, to this day, is his own best buyer. But he never stops meeting buyers, because people approach him. They approach Brad. They say, hey, I've got some money to place. Hey, I know a guy that has, 10 properties he's trying to sell. Can you guys help? Bam, bam, bam. That all comes through the buyers. So, same thing back when I ran acquisitions in 2008. we were primarily buying all the deals ourselves. We had that $10 million to play with. We were buying them, fixing them up, selling them. We bought the majority of the whole thing. But he was still really aggressive about us, even though we were buying the majority of houses, because it's the other stuff. It's not just moving a deal. It's the other stuff that comes from it. So consistency in those two things, and you'll find yourself in the middle of deals, no question. Who else? Anyone?
I have another question if no one else is going to chime in.
Fine.
This is Aaron again. So I was talking to my other my supervisor at my other thing about a different kind of dialing sort of possibility. I kind of had an idea. And he started mentioning the do not call lists and that there could be fines. And I was just curious. I don't remember having had that conversation or had that topic brought up, but is that something we need to be worried about? You're really breaking up. I can't hear you at all.
Okay.
Can everyone else?
No.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate you letting me know because I can't tell.
Yeah.
I believe a lot of the dialers scrub for do not call. I was saying somebody correct me if I'm wrong on that. But I think a lot of them do.
If you're using the dialers, but if you're just dialing straight or using FreedomSoft,
you'd
be the dialer. Is that?
Yeah, and I know. I'd be curious. I'll ask Rob about it. He's out this week. I know. My understanding is they're having the VA do the skip trace and they're dialing and saying, hey, you know, is this property causing you an issue? So, yeah, let me ask.
Okay. And
you
haven't heard of anybody having
any
problems?
I haven't at this point, no.
Maybe some ticked off
folks,
but. Okay, well, then
some people just get ticked off about whatever. I mean, you call enough people, you're going to run into that, but. For the most part, you know, this is why we're going after vacants right up front. Vacant houses most often are an issue of some kind. Obviously their phone rings and you're trying to bring a solution to the table. So for the most part, you know, pretty easy conversations to have. Again, people on a bad day or some people are just grumpy. But, yeah, for the most part, easy conversations.
And then the other question had to do with starting to generate, because you just said don't never turn off your lead gen, which I kind of, because I, you know, recently when I wasn't able to make the time to follow up on the calls and hadn't considered hiring anyone else, I was like, I'm dumping money right now. I'm paying this girl, you know, several hundred bucks a week, and she was doing great, bringing in leads, but I just felt like I haven't even done anything with these yet. So I guess maybe I should get her started again. Just looking for more.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. If you have a surplus and you're still getting a few pieces in place, you know, you can slow it down or put it on pause for a minute.
Okay.
You know, when you get to the place where you've got salespeople and they need leads, you're just never going to turn it off.
Gotcha. Yeah, once that machine is going and rolling, you
absolutely,
just keep them coming
absolutely.
In.
Yeah, I would. As soon as I said that, I thought, okay, there are probably a couple little scenarios here. Like, hey, you're overwhelmed, really busy, have limited time to get on the phone. You know, do you need another 1,000 leads this week? No.
Right.
You get a salesperson in.
You disappeared again. Mike.
Make the right decision there as the owner of the business. Yeah.
You were disappeared and then you just came back.
Oh, yeah, I was just saying.
But
right.
I think I got the gist.
Yeah, you know what's going on in your business, so monitor that. But
gotcha.
Yeah, as long as you call yourself investor, you're never going to not generate leads at some speed. I mean, that's the lifeblood of the business.
That was the next question is should I go ahead and start, you know, as I'm starting to, you know, find time to make calls to to sellers myself and definitely like getting these salespeople going, should I now go ahead and start reaching out to, and tracking down buyers at this point, or do we wait until we get something under contract?
No, that's
go ahead and get
that. That's a great use of your time. And if they ask, hey, you know, I don't have any inventory at this point in time, but I always have something coming down the pipe. So, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, because that'll be the next step that you get somebody involved in. So go meet the buyers, get active with them, get to know them, build relationship, and then when your company's ready for a disposition, then you'll know how to train that role as well. Yeah, great.
Okay.
Great use of time, for sure. For sure.
Cool. I think I'm going to jump off of here. I got to get...
Yeah, that sounds good. Yep. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Any other questions? Sounds like I've been breaking up a little bit today, so a little storm rolling through Colorado here. It's probably causing some issue. Hopefully everybody was able to catch at least the majority of the conversation here.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. Hey, you're talking about breaking up your work for your salesperson, man. I guess I made a mistake, man. My girl's got access to almost all the campaigns.
You're fine.
But,
that's fine.
Yeah.
But when it goes,
I saw what?
When you go to bring a person on, that's the thing is you're the puppet master. You can just control permission stuff and just change it. Enough
so you just change the name of the campaign? How do you
I would create a new one and then give that salesperson permission to see that campaign. And if you do it where they can see that campaign only and you can see all campaigns, all you have to do is click into the lead, click the campaign drop down, select theirs, click save, and it'll push it over all the
yeah. Yeah, but so, if they're trying to use the FreedomSoft phones, then that's not going to work too good, is it?
The FreedomSoft what?
Phone system.
Yeah, tie a phone number to their campaign.
Just give them a different phone number?
Yep.
Yeah, I got you.
You got it.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I did
John,
see...
You're fine. You're fine with the way you have
I did see on that vacant house workflow, I think he's got an extra step in there that's not right or something, man.
What does it say?
I don't know. It says after you've already skip traced it twice and then sent out, followed up and then sent the vacant letter, and then it says skip trace again. I think it's an extra step that he didn't mean to put in there.
Could be. Or it's just his thought process, it's another service. But that's you don't feel like it's needed, just click.
Yeah. Yep. I've been trying to figure out why we have it in there, but I haven't figured out a reason yet.
Yeah.
All right, man. Yeah, I'm all good. Just getting better, and I think we'll get rolling here because I've got a salesperson and a VA chomping at the bit for work. So, man, that's a good thing
it.
To have.
That's a great thing to have. Love it.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. So I got to get busy on the maintaining my leads and get back on my direct mail too. So,
that's it. And John, you're ready for another market too, my opinion.
Yeah, I know. Give me,
another
you
market.
Know, I know you've had me a deadline, but I'm working at it. So I'm getting there.
I know you are. Keep, ramp that one up. Cause then you can go, you've got a strong buyer's list where you're at. You'll have a salesperson on, you know, let her start out with leads there. I just had a brain cramp where you're at, Birmingham. And then you can be moving leads in a different location, start building buyers list in different location, get those leads skip traced and just plug those right in and say, hey, start dialing in two different areas.
Right. So, right. Yeah. Well, that's kind of, I've already mentioned that. So she's excited about that too.
Yep.
But first things first. So
first things
yeah,
first.
Man, I appreciate it. I appreciate
yes,
it. Really.
Sir.
So.
Absolutely.
All right.
Any other questions?
I'm good.
Anyone? Okay. Strong updates, everybody. yeah, any other questions, you know, if somebody wants to chime in, I'll be happy to stick around and get those answered. If not, always a coaching email and, you know, make it happen. If you're not, you know, where John and Lewis and some of these other check-ins were today, that's where you're headed. They're working the exact same system, the exact same process, all right? So regardless of where you're at, you know, get excited about where this goes, because that's the end result. You know, consistent deals, you know, where you're checking into office hours saying, hey, this just closed, this is lined up, here's what this month looks like. You know, I've got this salesperson on board, you know, we're moving things forward, and it can go from, don't think that this is, you know, another 6 months to get to where they're at, another year. It's not. You know, momentum's a cool thing where you get it to start to build, and it can grow. You know, the challenge can be, hey, this is moving a little too fast for where I'm comfortable, but that's where we want to get it to, where you're on that end of things. So anyway, keep plugging away, everybody. Work the step you're on. If you have any questions, as always, chime in, the coaching email, and have a great rest of your afternoon. Have a great weekend. And office hours, we'll go back to our normal schedule next week, Monday and Thursday. All right? We only moved it, obviously, because of Memorial Day there. So back to Monday and Thursday, everybody. Great talking to you all. Like I said, have a good night, and we'll chat soon, okay? Everybody take care.
Thank you.